Okay, you're forgiven. No. No, it sounds almost like you're saying all the things that I do. I just like to tell people what to do. Oh, says our children's pastor. Comedy night was Friday night, not, you know, no heckling today. No, it is my honor to be here just to share with you my heart about Jesus and who he is in my life. And I wouldn't be here today, literally, if it weren't for faith in Jesus, right? You can say amen to that. This morning I'm going to talk about the God of hope. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Romans 15:13, and that's what we're going to be kind of focusing on and going over today. But can you just say this with me? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just need to soak that in today. I say this as a prayer to myself and to other people sometimes. Just may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Can you say it again with me? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ah, that's good stuff right there. I had taken a picture that I was going to share today for the backdrop, but I took it incorrectly and it didn't work. But I want to tell you about it. A couple weeks ago, I was at a training at a camp up in Washington, and there was this big stump when you pull into the campground, and out of the stump is a tree growing. And they have carved into they have a sign at the bottom of it that says, "Hope wins." I love it. Here's this stump, dead, and out of it comes life. That's the God I serve. That's the hope that I have. May the God of hope, the God that can do the impossible, in the midst of the impossible, God can bring life. And if you need some life today, then I just want to share with you my Jesus. Share with you who my Savior is. You know that saying, it was, I believe, Albert Einstein that said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Have you heard that before? Right? So I found myself caught up in that hamster wheel and realized I've had a goal over the last several years, to get back in shape and maybe shed a few pounds and all of this stuff. And I mean, I have hoped that would happen like you would not believe. Nothing has changed because I haven't changed anything. So finally, this last week, I am now going to be accountable to all of you because I finally got out the door and started walking. And it felt so good. And one of the things I realized that I really missed about getting out there and pounding the pavement was that has always been a really special time between me and Jesus. There's just something just out of my door, down the hill. I've got a beautiful walk next to a creek with the trees and the squirrels and hills. And it's just amazing. And I'm always just caught up in the goodness of God, in the beauty of his creation. And then think, wow, it blows my mind to think that God, who created all things, who just spoke life into being, knows me and wants to commune with me and wants to talk with me and have fellowship with me. That blows my mind. A lot of you know I was raised in the Catholic faith, and there were some really good foundational things that I learned in that. And one was, you don't mess with God. We had the fear of God down. Like, I was afraid to speak above a whisper in the sanctuary. It was like there is an awesomeness and a holiness to God that I am so glad was instilled in me. But everything changed then once that came around. And now not only is he Almighty Creator God, he's also my personal Savior that wants to check in with me, wants to know what's going on. So I'm out on this walk, and I'm going along, and just talking with Jesus. And he gives me this picture, and I realize, you know what? I'm kind of ticked off because I realized the past few years, you know, stuff's been going on in the world, stuff's been going on in my life. You know, all of us have experienced these things. And I realized I've been playing a lot of defense, you know, just to make a little sports analogy here. You know, I was a volleyball coach and basketball coach in my earlier days. And so I love getting people together. That's kind of what I see what I'm doing today in preaching is bringing us together, getting us all pumped up in the truth of who God is in our life. You are not a victim. You are not suppressed, but we can live a life, a thriving life. I feel like I've been surviving. Anybody else gone through a season like that in your life? I've been surviving. I've been pressing into God, but it's usually crying out because of dot, dot, dot. This is going on, so I'm praying dot, dot, dot. And, you know, when you're playing defense, you're guarding that basket. And I just had this picture as we were walking along that that's where I've been. I've been surviving. I haven't been thriving in my faith. And so I'm guarding, you know, I'm guarding the basket. The basket is my family. It's my health. It's my job. It's whatever it is for you. You know, we can guard it really well. But then what happens when we get the ball and we run down to the other end and I don't have a plan. I don't have a play. You're just kind of standing there, I'll pass it over here, pass it over there. It's like I forgot what the goal is. It's to score. Come on. It's time to get in the game. That's what I felt like the Lord was saying to me. Molly, it's time to get in the game, not just be a part of the game. Don't let it just happen to you. But to go on the offense, to actually be going and praying and taking authority over things, not just guarding over here, but let's move forward. Let's pierce into that darkness. I read that book by Frank Peretti. It's came out decades ago. And I actually started reading it before I had even given my life to Jesus. It was a few months before that. And it opened up my mind to a whole different way of thinking. It's kind of an allegory of the spirit realm and what's going on there, and then seeing what's going on in the human realm. And there's one point where in the spirit realm, the demons are running around and they're starting to get nervous and you know, argue with one another and get afraid. And it's because in the physical realm, there was this little old lady making her way to church. She had her cane. She's barely coming along. She's in pain. It's not about being all here. It's where is your heart? Where is your spirit? Because that is what God will empower in us. And as she got closer to the door, they're just starting to freak out. She's going on the offense. She's not waiting for stuff to happen and then pray for God to take care of it. She's going on the offense. And she creaks the door open, and they're just fleeing and freaking out and stuff. And they're like, oh, no, she's here. She made it. Her alarm didn't go off, but she still made it. I put all these stumbling blocks in front of her, but she still came and went on the offense. She got in the game to push back the enemy. I am done letting him call the play and tell me where I'm going to fight in this fight, right? It's time to get in the game. Say that. See, I'm getting in the game. We got to be strategic. It was just like this wake-up call. I have a degree in strategic leadership, and I've been on defense for the last few years. I haven't lost my faith. I haven't, you know, I've been growing in the Lord and things and praying and doing all those things, but there's a whole other world that we can press into when we take a strategy. That old lady's strategy was to get to the church and intercede and pray before stuff happens. So it's time to get in the game. Defense is good, but offense, stuff can happen. I love watching my next to youngest son, Sam, play basketball. He's very tall, like his dad. And so, you know, he's down there guarding that basket. And at least once per game, because he's so much taller than the other kids, they'll shoot, and he bats that ball out out of bounds, gets it out of here. And what do you say, Mike, when you're a big guy guarding that? Get out of my house. And I love it because he does just like his dad used to do. He'll get up there and he'll grab that ball and, you know, they're shooting it, but they don't know that this gargantuan arm is coming in to say, no way, get that out of my house. That's what we need to stand up and do. Enemy brings stuff in there, get that out of my house. Let's go on the offense. Because the one who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4 says that, for he who is in me, so it doesn't mean matter if I'm bedridden, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Say this with me, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Right. So the first thing I wanted to talk about today is hope. He is the God of hope. And there's a difference between when I look up on the internet, and if I know it's true because it's on the internet, right? hope, just the definition. What is hope? You know, I mean, I know what it is, what I feel, but there's a difference between how the world describes hope and God's hope, godly hope. Hope. In the world, it's a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, or you wish something. It's out of your control. Like, oh, I hope the Seahawks win. Or, oh, I hope the Blazers win today. Oh, I hope there's ice cream for dessert. You know, that's different than the God of hope. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. When we stand upon hope in the Lord, we're standing upon his promises. We're standing upon the four square symbols here. I'm not wishing and hoping that there is a Savior. I know that there is a Savior. Jesus, the Savior, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the healer, and the soon coming King. My hope in that is I know it's going to happen when you stand upon the promises of God. Amen? Come on, let's get riled up here. I got my great front row right here. So what is our hope? It's in God's promises. He is your defender. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's prepared a place for us. We have the hope of eternity, not the, oh, I hope and wish that happens. I know, because my hope is in God, and he said that he has prepared a place for us. He has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. We are in his presence always. Yes, that's the God of hope that I trust in, not wishing. Psalm 31:24 says this. Say it with me, please. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Because that's not throwing money in the toilet. When you hope in the Lord, there is a confidence that comes. There is a strength that comes. Romans 15:13, the scripture that we are kind of focusing on today, it teaches us that true hope, joy, and peace can only be found in God. The other things are temporary. If you're looking for your hope, your joy, your peace in other things in this world, like, oh, once I get that job, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied. Then everything is going to go right. No, it can only be found in God and the promises of God. May the God of hope. Thank you, Jesus. You know, our lives are all about seasons. Just like in nature. There's summer, spring, winter, and fall. All you got to do is call and I'll be there. No, actually, he will be there, but just like there's seasons in nature, we have seasons in our life. There was a season of my childhood. There's a season of my young adult life. There is a season of marriage and young kids. There's a season of older kids. There's a season yet to come. It's always changing, but the thing that I can trust in is in seasons, there's a beginning, but there's also an end. It changes. So I know that when I'm experiencing winter in my life, not necessarily the months that we have weather winter, but when there's a winter in my life, I stand up on the hope of God because I know that it's going to come to an end. It's going to be over, and then there's going to be another season. That's just how life is. Enjoy the good seasons, but even in the hard times, it doesn't change how I am doing because God doesn't change. And my faith, my hope is not based on what I'm experiencing. It's based on who God is in my life. Worldly hope disappoints, but hope in God brings blessing. Can you say that? Amen. Worldly hope disappoints, right? But hope in God brings blessing. Psalm 146 says, "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." You're blessed when you find your hope in God. Sometimes we misplace our hope, right? Maybe you've experienced this before. My hope and stability is in my ability to figure stuff out, your intelligence. You rely on that. But that may go someday. It's temporary. Your finances, they're looking good. I'm feeling good. I've got good hope. But sometimes markets crash. Sometimes we lose jobs. Those things aren't there to sustain us like God is. Maybe the government is your hope. That's a joke. You can laugh. It's always changing, right? But God does not change. And so I want to put my hope in Him. Everything else is temporary. Have you ever stood on a beach and, you know, where the water is coming in? Thank you, Abel. And the water comes in and out, and you're standing in the sand. And what happens? Yeah, it's that shifting sand. It moves the sand, right? And you start sinking or falling over and things. But God says, don't put your faith, don't build your foundation on shifting sand. Build it on the rock. I love that we have a huge rock out here to symbolize so many things. But I challenge all of you together, even, go and try to move it. Go and try to, you know, just move it around and stuff. It doesn't budge because a rock is solid. God is our rock. He is the rock of hope. I used to do this thing when I was coaching volleyball and just for fun and to kind of keep the kids focused. At any point during the practice, I would yell, "Barnacle." And when I yell barnacle, everybody, immediately, you become a barnacle on something. It might be on a person. It might be on the floor. It might be on the net. Wherever it is, it's just barnacle. Immediately, you're a barnacle. You know, you're just sucking onto something. Several years ago, I had a guest speaker, a woman I just adore, Marianne Cates. She used to work at the district office and is just a phenomenal godly woman. And she spoke at one of our retreats. Do you remember that, Shelley, up at Crestview? And she said something that I just have adopted into my life. She said, you know, talking about faith in God and faith is the rock. And she goes, "I just love Him so much. I just want to be a barnacle on the rock of Jesus." And I love that. Who wants to be a barnacle on the rock of Jesus? That means you are attached. You got to scrape those things off. They don't just pop off. That's how I want my faith. It's so strong in the Lord that it's like, "Lord, I'm stuck to You. And no matter what we're going through, no matter what waves come crashing, I'm not going anywhere. I am stuck to the rock." Barnacle on the rock of Jesus. Yeah? Say this with me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. The next thing I want to talk about is joy. He says, fill you with all joy and peace. You know, happiness is temporary. There's a difference between happiness and joy. You know, I mean, joy also, it says, bring a joyful sound, a joyful noise, be joyous. But For me, in my faith, the joy comes, the source of that comes from faith. So it doesn't matter. It's not temporary. Happiness can come and go, but joy is eternal. Happiness relies on our situations. Joy comes from God's steadfastness. He doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. He quietly comes and proclaims and never goes away. Happiness is our situation. You know, maybe a baby is born. I'm so happy. You know, it brings an emotion, a feeling. There's a wedding that you're celebrating, a graduation that comes, you know, a change in life, in seasons, and those things can make us happy for the moment. You get a new car, new to you. It's probably old, used, but it doesn't matter. It's new to you, and that makes you happy, right? Or that it starts when you... I got some friends that have been having some issues with that. and that can make you happy, but that can come and go. I found this gal, she's a Christian counselor. Her name is Nicole Freiling. And she says the biblical definition of joy is very different from the cultural view of happy. Joy comes from his presence, his strength, his deliverance. Even after grief and suffering, weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning through trials that we go through, because there is that constant current when we are stuck on the rock of Jesus. When our joy is in the Lord, it is not affected by our circumstances. Have you experienced this in your life? Sometimes you might be going through something and people come up and just like, how are you doing? You know, you might be exhausted and all of those things, but like, how are you doing inside? There can still be a joy. One of the most difficult times in my life, it was shortly after I got saved, started living my life for Jesus, and it was just a weird thing and a weird season and everything, but it was like everyone that was my support system and things changed. Now they were talking about me, they were putting pressure on because I was going to a different church. I was experiencing isolation, rejection, abandonment, all of those things from people that had been in my life the entire time. And it was crushing, and as I began to just continue following after Jesus, I realized that even in the midst of that, the loneliest time in my life, I was still filled with joy because my joy was based on the God of hope. Those things that aren't going to change. My salvation isn't going to change. Who I am in Christ isn't going to change. The calling that he's put on my life isn't going to change. Everything else was changing. And experiencing that emotionally and relationally was... heartbreaking, but I look back and I wouldn't trade any of it, because it was in that place that God became my support, God became my acceptor, God became my champion, my cheerleader. The joy of the Lord is what filled me. Psalm 16:11 says this. Oh, no, it doesn't. Nehemiah. No, you were right. You were right, Greg. I was wrong. Nehemiah 8:9 says, this day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That take you back to Children's Church? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Anybody? I learned some really good theology by teaching Children's Church. the joy of the Lord is your strength. There may be grief. There may be... temptation, there may be struggles, there may be all those things, but it's not going to affect your joy, because the joy of the Lord is where I draw my strength from. I think I did get those backwards. I don't know. Yeah. Psalm 16:11. Can you find that one, Greg? You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. If you're lacking joy, go on a walk. I'll even share my route. It's amazing. I was so thankful. It was a really busy week, as Mike had mentioned, but I was so thankful that I was going to speak today because it got me out there to walk and spend that time alone with the Lord. Just checking in, just saying, hey. And just by being in his presence, it lifted me up. So if you are in that place where you're feeling empty or you don't know what I'm talking about, how can you have joy in the midst of what you're going through? Spend time in his presence. Come and meet my Jesus. It will change everything. Say this with me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Now we're going to do it all together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in. Yes. The last thing I want to talk about is peace. I don't know why this is a peace sign, but peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. Okay, we've got three people that know that song. Again, going back to my children's pastor days, but we experience true peace when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. You know, peace as well can be a temporary thing. It's not reliant on what's going on in the world or what's going on in my life. You can still experience peace. So may the God of hope fill you with that peace. Because who knows, everything in the world, it's not looking too hot, you know. They always say we pray for peace in the world, you know, around Christmas time and stuff. Not sure that's ever going to happen this side of eternity. But am I going to allow that to affect my peace? Those things are always changing. But when my faith and trust is in the rock of Jesus, I'm not going anywhere. I can still have peace in the midst of that storm. John 16:33 says this. Just read it with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I love this scripture. I quote it probably weekly to myself. But read it again with me. I have told you, Jesus talking. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you, what? You're going to have trouble. I so dislike the misconception that some people have of give your life to Jesus and everything's going to be smooth sailing. Has anybody experienced that? In my faith, in my spirit, yeah, it's been solid. But that doesn't mean that I'm not getting buffeted by the storms and the waves and all of that. We're going through that. But here Jesus set us up. He says this. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So whatever trouble you're going to have here, I've already conquered it. I've already put it down. He's the king of the hill when it comes to that. So we can take heart. We can have peace in him because he's already conquered this world. He has conquered death. He has conquered sin so that we can come in relationship with him. You know, many of you know our story of how our family was put together. And there were several years of infertility that we experienced and went through and things that, you know, we did and all of that to try to have a family, begin a family. And even in the midst of that really time of turmoil, you know, in my heart and desire, I still had a peace because God had spoken to me and he said, it's not a matter of if you're going to have kids, it's when. And I stood upon that promise and just thought, okay, Lord, this isn't happening in my timeline. Have you ever experienced that? I want it done yesterday, Lord. I'm going to wait 8 years? What? I didn't even know the time it was at that point. But I still had peace because I know that God is faithful to his promises. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So as I got older, I would pray and say, you know, Lord, I know that you can do anything, right? He can. But I don't want to be Sarah. You know, Sarah was like 90 when she had children. I was like, I don't want to be Sarah, but I trust you. So I wasn't Sarah. I was older than I had anticipated, but I trust him enough to know if that's how it's going to come about, then I just trust you, Lord, that that's going to be the best for me. That's going to be the best for my family. My peace is not reliant on what's going on in the world or going on in my life. It's on the rock. When we lay our burdens on God's altar, he gives us peace. You know what I mean by that is, you know, the old saying, let go and let God, you know, release it to him and stuff. What that means is, if I'm struggling with something and it's out of my control, it's affecting me, it's affecting my family and stuff, is in prayer, I give it to the Lord. It's like, Lord, this is going on and I can't change it. I can't fix it. It has to do with other people's wills. But I give it to you, the author and perfecter of my faith. I give it to you, my creator. I give it to you. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says this. And read this with me because it's very powerful. We know it, but do we do it? Say this with me. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's putting it on the altar of God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I could just meditate on that for a while. Have you ever struggled with anxiety? Usually for me, it's those things that are out of my control that I see are going south. They're going off the rails. But I do find when I come before the Lord and present that request to him and leave it in him, then the peace of God fills me beyond all understanding and guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. This last year, hope you can come up now wherever you are. Oh, that's good. She's good. I did think I heard something. I think that's what made me think, oh yeah, let's have the keyboard come up. Oh, you're good, girl. Love her. You know, this, many of you know, the past couple years have been very challenging for our family, different things. And I was sharing with a group of pastors in the Eugene area a few months ago. And several of them had been at a retreat that Mike and I were at a year ago. Matter of fact, we're leaving tomorrow for the same retreat. It's to invest in people that are being a lead pastor for the first time, just to encourage them. And last year, when we were getting ready to depart, all you know what was breaking loose in some personal things in our life. And it was bad. But we went up and we ministered. And as I'm sharing this with these pastors, because I was just kind of talking about, you know, who is your source of strength? Because all of these things change in the world, just like we're talking today. And I was sharing with them an update about what was going on then and now. And this one guy goes, wow, I had no idea
He goes, because you guys didn't present. And actually, we were pretty vulnerable there and kind of shared, you know, stuff's crazy. But my ability to minister doesn't come from my situations. My ability to have peace doesn't come from what's going on, because I'm rooted in Jesus. He alone is the one that brings me peace, fills me with joy, gives me hope in the midst of hopelessness. He's the one. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know him? Do you know him? I grew up learning a lot about him. I went to Sunday school, catechism, Bible studies, all of that. I knew a lot about Jesus. I knew where he was born, how he was born. I knew where he lived. I knew what his occupation was. I knew he was the Son of God. I knew all these things. I knew he died for us and all of that. But I didn't know him. There is a difference. You can know a lot about people, about someone famous, someone that is elevated in our culture. But do you personally know them? You're walking down the street where they go, "Hey, Rachel." No. They probably don't really know who you are. Do you know him? Because the God that I'm talking about today, all of that stuff, if it's out of your reach, just want to encourage you to let him in. That's all we have to do. Say, "Jesus, I've known about you. I don't care if you've been going to church for 40 years, doing the thing, doing the Christian thing, but do you know him? Do you have conversations with him? Do you go on walks with him? Where you're devastated in an area, but he alone can bring you hope and joy and peace. Have you known him and you've kind of been checked out for a while? I just want to encourage you, come back. If you don't know him like I've been talking about him, then I want, and you do want to know him, that's an easy fix. That's an easy fix. You know, I see it as life is happening up here, right? Even good stuff, you know, birthdays, anniversaries. And then this is our faith. This is Jesus. And life is happening, all that good stuff. It filters down when you're a believer, filters through Jesus. And the good stuff is even better. It's even sweeter. But then there's a reality of life that happens. There's a diagnosis, a divorce, and it can crush us. But if you allow that to filter through your faith of Jesus, you can still have a life of hope, a life of joy, and a life of peace. Even when those devastating things come, we need that filter. We need the Jesus filter of faith to let those things come down and through. Thank you, Lord God. You just join me in prayer this morning. Let's go ahead and stand in his presence. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, I pray you stir in our hearts. For those of us that know about you, but we don't know you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that the door gets opened. Lord, for those of us that know you, but we've maybe gotten lazy or forgotten and we've just been playing defense, and you're calling us to get in the game, Lord, I pray that you would inspire us, that you would rise up in our spirit and give us that plan. You gave us the plan and the playbook, and that's your Bible. So may we use that, Lord God. For those of us that have known you, but it's been a while, or I've done my own thing for a while, don't let today go by without re-engaging in that faith. if any of those things is something that you just feel is stirring in your heart that you want to take a stand today for, if you could just look up at me, I can confirm that. And then we're going to pray together and leave this place different than when we came. So if any of that is you, just look up at me and make eye contact. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to say this with me. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I open the door of my heart. I confess that you are my Savior. Fill me with your hope. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Hope you have a wonderful day, and may your life never be the same.